This conference is being recorded.
Hi, everyone. Can you hear me now?
Yep.
Yeah.
Great. This is Leslie Cunningham, and today is Tuesday, December 5th, and it's 1 p.m. Eastern Time. And the name of my business is springwindcoaching.com, and you can get information from my website. And I just want to start by welcoming everyone to our first free Live Richly call. And these calls are going to be occurring the first three Tuesdays of each month at 1 p.m. Eastern Time. So you can tune in, and if you haven't signed up to receive information on these calls, you can go to my website underneath the free resource link in the nav bar, and there's a section called Live Richly calls, and you can just sign up. And each Monday, I'll be sending out information about each call. I'll tell you guys a little bit about the content and also provide the phone number for each call. So to just give you an idea about what these calls are all about, the focus of these calls are to help empower you and give you the tools to create what I call holistic financial success in your life. So I work with people not just to take specific financial action as an individual or as a couple, but to also take these steps to create financial success that are more internal as well. And so on these calls, we're going to learn how to take internal and external actions towards building wealth and being wealthy. And that being wealthy is a real important aspect. And we're going to do this through three ways: taking effective financial action, creating connecting relationships, and the last piece is making more personal time for ourselves to renew ourselves and our spirits. And I also want to share with you with the reason why I'm doing these calls. And the bottom line for me is to help teach people how to live richly. And, let's face it, if we're struggling with money and maybe arguing about it in our relationships, if we don't have enough money coming in, this creates a lot of stress for us, and we're not really living in balance because our financial stresses get in the way of living more fully. So what I help people do is get in touch with the things that really matter. And for a lot of people, when I've been working with my clients one-on-one, one of the big things that they mention as far as the things that are important to them are their relationships, their health, these values. And so I help people make time for the things that really matter by addressing the financial component so that we can live our lives more fully and create true wealth in our lives, not just in terms of our pocketbooks, but in our relationships, our personal time, and the things that really matter. So it's really exciting to be able to talk about this today. So just to give you an idea of what we're going to talk about and kind of how these calls will be structured, they're going to be really informal. I'm going to present a little bit of content here in the beginning, and then I'll ask a few questions, and I'd like to encourage all of you, grab a paper and a pen, and as you have questions that come up when I'm talking, write those down, and if you just want to interrupt and throw them out there, that's fine too. But really think about how you can make this interactive for yourself and how you can get the most out of this, because that's what I want for you, is when you get off this call and you hang up, that you feel like you really gained something from this. And in order to do that, I'd really encourage you just to boldly put yourself out there. And I know a lot of times it's easy to just kind of be in our little comfort zone as we're listening in on calls. And so just know that you have my permission and my welcome to really step out and get all that you can from this. As far as the content then, I'm going to introduce three concepts today. And I'm going to show you how you can use these concepts and principles in your life. You can use these together to create financial success for yourself. I mentioned two of these in the email that I sent out. And when I was reflecting more about what I wanted to share with you guys, I came up with a third that I realized was a little bit different from vision and what I call, what Napoleon Hill actually came up with the term, burning desire. And there's a third component that I'm going to introduce. So I'm going to share with you definitions for that and kind of give you more a clear understanding of what these three components are. And then the other piece that I want to share with you guys are some stories from my personal life and also stories from that some of my clients have experienced from implementing these three concepts that we're going to talk about today. And in that process, I'd like to encourage you as we're talking about this to think about maybe some of your own personal stories that represent these concepts. So before I get started in talking about these three concepts, I would love to hear from you guys. And let's think about the concept of burning desire. Desire and passion, living your life from this place of passion and the things that are exciting and motivating to you. I'd like to hear from you before I explain too much about this concept. Just what are some of the things that you are really interested in as far as burning desires that you have that you'd like to create in your life that bring up passion and excitement for you? And this is an especially really great concept to think about as we move into the new year. I mean, this may have nothing to do with your business, and it may have everything to do with your business. Maybe it has to do with your relationships, your hobbies. It doesn't need to be a real kind of heady thing. I would just like to encourage you to think about some of the things that you're passionate and excited about. And maybe just throw those out there. What are some of those things for yourself that you'd like to create more of in your life? And anyone can, maybe before you talk, just say your name and where you're from again for the group so that we can get a sense of who's speaking.
This is Jeff.
Hi, Jeff.
Hi. So mine is definitely, it happens to be my business, even though you said it doesn't have to be.
Uh-huh.
So I'm really excited and passionate about my business, but it's a new business. So I'm mostly hoping to make that passion kind of effective and keep it, sustain it for a long period of time.
Wonderful. And when you say excited and passionate, is there another feeling that you can think about that that you can think of that describes that? In addition to just excited and passionate, what does that feel like for you?
I kind of feel like motion. I don't know. Like, I know when I think about it a lot, I want to like stand up and move, like physical. And also, I guess both kind of a moving forward type of thing. And there's also, I have a big desire for the opposite feeling, I guess, that kind of sense of peace and security that I'm hoping will come from the result of the passion.
Yeah.
So kind of the payoff. You know.
Yeah, that's wonderful. Thanks for sharing that. And I really like what you said about moving forward and kind of the end result of that as being the peace and the security. And I'll come back and touch on a little bit of what you said as we go further through the content. Thanks,
Thanks.
Jeff.
This is Portico.
Uh-huh.
And I think actually what I'm passionate about is actually – gaining some control over my time so there is more of it for me. That's what I'm passionate about because I think in that I need time right now to find out what I am passionate about. And so I need space to do that in, and I can't my day job has a tendency to envelop, take over, submerge, drown, I disappear. And so I'm passionate about reappearing. That's what I'm passionate about.
One, great. And so if you could describe, you know, you mentioned having more time and more space. If you could describe that feeling, what would that feel like for you?
It looks like yellow. That's maybe easier for me to. It's a yellow space. It's just it's happy and bright, and it's energetic, but it's you know, because it's not just that I want to do nothing in that time. So it's not about the absence of motion. It's an interior motion that I want to access instead of the exterior one that kind of picks me up on Monday and drops me off on Friday.
Mm-hmm.
You know, so trying to create that space in every moment that is a place for my imagination to connect with the reality of my day.
Mm-hmm.
And that's what I would have to say. No, that might not be, but I know that's what I'm trying to work on.
No, that's perfect for you. And this, what you said that stood out for me was this sense of interior motion and mm-hmm. time, you know, being available was kind of
yes.
the impression that I got.
Yes.
Being available for this reflective and being thoughtful.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. Okay, so self-reflection. All right, great. Thank you.
Mm-hmm.
Who else would like to share? Think of what you're passionate about, whether it's a very simple thing. It doesn't have to be a great thing, you know, like big and impressive, but what is it that brings you energy and excitement and that you're passionate about creating in your life and maybe even thinking as we move into this new year? So I'll share something for myself that I'll share more detail about this as we go through the content that I have. But for myself, I've noticed that there's many things that I'm passionate about, but the thing that really stands out is this concept of creating balance in my life.
Mm-hmm.
And as I continue to work in my business and it continues to grow, creating this balance so that I can continue to grow with my business and have time for myself
mm-hmm.
and, you know, time for my relationship with my husband to eat healthy, be healthy, time for walks in nature, which are important to me. So this idea of balance is something that I'm extremely passionate about, and I will talk a lot about this on these calls because I believe that when we hold ourselves in balance, that we show up for our business and our relationships and our life in a more direct way and a more energizing and empowering way.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
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 So let's jump into all this. Let's get into the content. As far as, so now we have people have shared some of their burning, the things that they're passionate and excited about. Now, the challenge that we have what happens, I've noticed, in the clients that I've worked with is, and all of us as we live our lives, is that we have challenges that come up for ourselves that cause us to doubt our abilities to accomplish what we want to accomplish. And these challenges come up in the form of, since I do a lot of financial coaching with clients, and I help clients grow their businesses, I do a lot of coaching around that. The things that I hear a lot are not having enough money to pay the bills, having too much debt, not working together with their partners on money issues, not pursuing the kind of things that they want to do, whether it's in their pursuing something entirely new or if it's in their career, not pursuing their career in a way that's exciting to them. And the bottom line for all this is not making that income or maybe not having the clients that they want. And so I've noticed when I started working on this book, my book on financial dating and creating success in your finances and in your relationships, when I started working on my book, I just kind of jumped into these are the financial action steps that couples and individuals, even though it's written for couples, this is all applicable to individuals as well, right? So I started thinking these are the steps that people need to take. But as I was working on this, I realized there is a whole other set of kind of maybe more internal, these are ways of being that are important for us to integrate into our life in order to have the outcome be what we want in order to create financial success, right? So you can kind of think of this as like a funnel or a machine. So what comes in, you know, affects what comes out. So when we think about this for our personal lives, what's coming in to our, you know, what are we feeding into our mind and our brain and how are we processing this affects what is what comes out of the end of this funnel as far as our successful having the money that we want and having the successful businesses that we want. And what I developed was seven keystones to creating financial and relationship success. And when I say relationship, this applies to a partner, and these are all concepts that we want to apply to ourselves individually. And the big one that I realized was this idea of creating a clear vision and having this desire, getting in touch with your passion. And I kind of lump that in as one, although there's lots of pieces to this, but I'm going to break it down into three pieces today. And so that's why I wanted to talk about this today, because I thought this was a great way to launch our call, is talking about vision, your passion, and this third piece is money dynamic. So let me just start by talking about a vision, clear vision. What do you guys think that is? You know, these are concepts that we are familiar with as far as vision. What does that mean to you?
you see some place that you're not now and would like to get over there.
Yeah. And what you said that is really powerful is the seeing part.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. And you know what? I've noticed when I work with my clients, a lot of us have a tendency to say, oh, yeah, vision, I know what that is. And we, you know, kind of just kind of discard it. You know, I know that. But the question that I'd like to pose to all of you is, do you implement this concept? And I'm going to share with you more how to implement it. A lot of these basic, simple things, we don't really implement, but we think we are because we know about it. And so our brain automatically shuts off, and we move on to the next thing. And with the clients that I've worked with that have created the biggest change for themselves, they really have a clear vision for where they're going. And Napoleon Hill talked about this a lot in his books that he wrote. And he talks about it in Think and Grow Rich. So let me share with you a story that I think exemplifies this. If you guys are familiar, are you guys familiar with Pike's Place Fish Market in Seattle?
They throw the fish.
Yeah, exactly. They throw the fish. I was listening to an audio book about, I don't know if you guys are familiar with the, I can't remember the man's name, but the owner of the market, if you're familiar with his story, but it's a very fascinating story. And I was listening to an audiobook about his story, and he said when he first, his father ran the business, and then he took over the business after his father became too old. And he said when he took over the business, the market was a place where people would, he said there were arguments all the time. You know, people were always quitting. Somebody would start, and then in 6 hours they would walk out because it was just a miserable place to work. Not only were the conditions miserable in that, you know, they had really bad conditions as far as working with the fish and working with, you know, the temperatures, but the environment was really bad as well, just the interactions with other people. And so he started working with a business coach. And in the process, they started having meetings with their staff. And they asked their staff what their vision was, what they wanted to work towards for the market. What would be their vision? And one of the staff people said, how about let's be world famous? And his first thought was, okay, whatever, that's a great concept. You know, he was going to just kind of move on to the next thing. But they really started talking about it, and they decided that this was going to be their vision. Well, what does that mean? You know, to all of us, we're like, okay, world famous, that seems kind of subjective and a little ethereal. You know, but for them, what they decided was how they were going to live out this vision of being world famous was that they were going to affect people in a world famous way. So what that meant to them is whenever they had a customer, they were going to talk to them and, you know, really ask them questions and see how they were. And then as a result, maybe that would affect their relationships. They really looked at this at a personal level as opposed to bringing their business to world fame. Now, what ended up happening, they tell a couple of stories in here, in the audiobook, about how there were two men in a wheelchair, and they one of the guys took some time to really talk to them, and at the end of that conversation, they left, you know, they were kind of negative initially. And then when they left, they could tell that there was a change in how these, the attitudes of these two individuals. And another real brief story that he shares is this girl that was in the Midwest in a cancer ward. And they had read the story about this girl. And she said that whenever she was feeling really down, she would think about the market in where the guys threw the fish, and that would make her really happy. So having this vision of being world famous, one of the employees at the market read that story, and he asked the owner of the store if they could go travel to where this girl, where she was in the hospital, and visit her and throw fish for her. Now, of course, they couldn't throw the real fish, but they brought stuffed dolls with them, fish dolls, and they surprised her on her birthday. She didn't know anything about this, and she was so excited to see them. It just made her whole day, and as a result, there was a story that was written up about this, about the employees visiting them, and so, you know, we all know about the market, Pike's Place Fish Market, and because they claimed this for their vision of being world famous, and they thought of how they could live that on a very unique, individualized way, that they ended up becoming world famous. When they claimed this as their vision and they lived it, then other people started saying, they would hear people in the crowd that would say, oh, I've heard about these guys. They're the world famous fish market guys. You know, and so people started repeating what they had heard about them and when they started living that vision. So I think this is a real powerful story as far as how, you know, what I would like to challenge all of you to think about is your vision. How can you make that really a part of you? Instead of just having it be something separate from you of like making a certain amount of income for yourself. And there's nothing wrong with that. That can be a very motivating thing. But I'd like to encourage you to think about, like, the story that I shared with you. How can you really live that out in a way that's exciting to you?
Can I change my passion?
Oh,
I want to go to
absolutely.
India for my sabbatical. That's better. I'll have more peace there. That's my new passion.
Okay, so I didn't catch the I heard sabbatical. What was the first
part?
Yeah,
I'm going to go to India. I want to take a year off work, take a sabbatical for a year instead of just one semester and go to India.
Oh, wow.
That's better.
That's exciting.
Carry on. Okay, with God, I'm okay. I just don't want to be exhausted on the weekend. I'm going to go to India for a year. Okay,
oh,
go on.
Oh, wow. That's so wonderful. Thank you, Monica.
You're welcome.
Does anyone have something that they'd like to share about that story, what it brought up for them?
Well, India for me.
Yeah. You go.
Yeah.
Well, you know, one thing is that, you know, that I've heard about vision, that's kind of a cool thing, is that you don't ask how too early on.
Mm.
You know, you get a what. Right, what is Be World Famous?
Mm-hmm.
And then why, you know?
Mm-hmm.
And I guess, I think it's Tony Robbins that always says, if you have a big enough why, how will happen?
Mm-hmm.
You know, so if you know what your what is, what you want, and you really spend the time developing the why it would be so important and why not doing it would be so horrible.
Mm-hmm.
Then, and sometimes that's more powerful, right?
Yeah.
Then once you get both of those, why yes and why not would be bad, then it really, that's the fuel. And as you get clearer and clearer on exactly what you want, which was this world famous thing for them, then it you're kind of, I think that's the law of attraction.
Mm-hmm.
And then all of a sudden, you know, everywhere you look, there's an answer to how you can do it.
Yeah.
And one of them just, you know, works, right? You might have
yeah.
to try lots of things, but so that's what came up for me. And when you think about it, throwing fish, you know, really doesn't add to the quality of the product or the, you know, service or, you know, the typical things that you think about in a business.
Mm-hmm.
It's a gimmick, but it's really fun.
Mm-hmm.
And it did what they wanted it to do, which was to help them become world famous.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and what they wanted to do, they lived it in a very authentic way, in an individualized way.
Before it was true.
Yeah, exactly. And it's so neat what you just brought up, Jeff, because now, I'm familiar with Tony Robbins, of course, but I haven't read a lot of his stuff. But, you know, you mentioning the what and the why, I used some of those labels to kind of define this. And so that's neat to hear that that's how he describes it. So the clear vision is the what. You know, what is it that you want?
Mm-hmm.
And the burning desire... my personal interpretation of this is that is the why. That's the passion. That's why it's exciting to you. It's the fuel. And before I jump into the burning desire part, the passion part, I also want to mention having a clear vision. What I really encourage people that I work with to do is to give yourself permission. This is so important. A lot of people, when they think about their vision or what they want, they will not be completely honest with themselves because their mind automatically jumps to all these reasons that this what that they want, their vision, cannot come true. It either does that or so they'll list reasons why, and then also they'll start thinking about all the obstacles. Maybe, especially when I work with couples and finances, oh, I can't really do my, my checkbook this way or my retirement account this way, or I can't set up my bank account this way because my husband or my wife wouldn't accept that. So you see what I'm saying? They jump to all these reasons, these assumptions of why this won't work. So what I encourage them to do and what I encourage you guys to do as you're thinking about your vision and what you want is to give yourself permission not to have to act on this vision. Now, that sounds kind of funny and kind of strange, but just give yourself permission to be completely honest with yourself. Don't feel like you have to jump into the how I'm going to do this, but give yourself permission to be honest. And if we say we don't have to do it, then that kind of eliminates that we don't let our obstacles or our fears hold us back. We're like, okay, well, I don't have to do this, so what would I really like to do if I really what would I really like to do? What's my vision? Maybe I really would like to make this amount of money a year or travel to this place. So that's clear vision. Burning desire is some of these, you guys shared about this in the beginning, some of your desires that you have. It's the why, what motivates you, what's exciting about pursuing this. And this is, so the important thing to keep in mind as we go through these things is if we can stay in touch with our vision and our passion and our desire, then when things are challenging for us, these are the pieces that are going to keep us going forward, right? And it's having these pieces together. So the passion and the excitement is the burning desire. And a lot of us kind of lose touch with what that is. But it can be a simple thing for starters. It can be maybe you enjoy going for walks and you don't, or exercise and you don't give yourself the time to do that. I really believe by taking time out for these small things that you know that are exciting to you and that give you this energy, that it will create a space for these bigger ideas and concepts to come into your mind. So if it's Portico was saying, a trip to India, sometimes that might seem daunting to figure out that. Sometimes it won't be. But think about on a day-to-day basis, what are the things that you can do that get you in touch with this for yourself? For me, it's going for walks and exercising and being outside. That is my wonderful time that I really get in touch with inspiration. And if I can do that, make space for that for myself in my busy life, then I notice that it automatically gives me more energy. I get all these wonderful ideas for my business. And so by living in a very simple, authentic way, it creates this foundation for me to live in a bigger way, kind of like a pyramid. So maybe think about, in this piece on passion and desire, think about what's that foundation of your pyramid for you. Is it eating healthy? What are these things that will help create the solid foundation so that you can build this successful business or follow this dream that you have? Because a lot of times what happens for us, our foundation is very weak. And we try and build big dreams on this foundation that's like, set up on, Legos or something. And we wonder why we don't have the energy and the creativity available for building our dreams or businesses to the extent that we want. So do you guys have, what would that be for some of you if you could live, kind of build this foundation for you, these things that give you energy that, and help support you? What are some of those things?
I know for me, reading kind of when I think of my business vision, mm-hmm. reading like a good book like, you know, Think and Grow Rich and things like that, I've read a lot, and when I read those books or reread those books, it really gets my juices flowing as mm-hmm. far as how I would, you know, so I'll, like you just gave an example, mm-hmm. and then I think of myself, if I was in that position, what would I have done? And then that's like, okay, well, I kind of could do anything, so why don't I put myself in that position and do that? Okay, how do I do that? You know, and I just kind of builds on itself for me.
Uh-huh.
So while you go for a walk, I for me it's reading. And then the other thing is interacting with other people like
mm-hmm.
this. And we've talked about that before. That really gets my – it's funny because I put so much energy into it that it definitely – it's kind of got this odd combination of being exhausting – and rejuvenating at the same time and energizing. So, like, I put a lot of energy in, but I always, it's kind of a dip right after, and then maybe a couple hours later, I'll have some ahas. And then as far as capturing that and keeping it going, then it's writing, like journaling type of thing. I know when I've been stuck in places, I'll get away and kind of do that retreat type of thing, and what really gets me going is starting to write, and the pen starts going, and then I'll just be crazy with my thoughts, you know.
So reading, the interaction with others, and the writing, those are those really help you get in touch with your passion and your creativity.
Yes.
For you. Okay, great. Thank you. Somebody
yoga
else.
For me, yoga.
Yoga.
Yoga, meditation. It's that's my foundation for sure. And it's funny, when I first started to meditate, probably talking to you today because of when I started to meditate, but I was so sure I did not have time to meditate. And now my meditation and my yoga is 2 hours a day, you know, and so, and that's not enough time. I wish I had more time for it.
Uh-huh.
And I know that I wouldn't be able to do as much as I do if I wasn't spending all that time, you know, like that's sort of in the morning and night, you know, that's combined together. But and at the same time, too, I used to, like, go, you know, drive to a gym and work out there and drive back. So now my yoga is much more portable. So, because I think, oh, my God, how can I be spending all that time doing that?
Uh-huh.
But it is vital to me. It's very vital. Mm-hmm.
And what you...
Go ahead.
No, go ahead, Portico.
Oh, no, I was just going to say, and I could really do a lot of that in India for a year.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Great. Thank you. Somebody else. Let's hear from somebody else about what is energizing for you and helps get you in touch with kind of inspiration and creativity.
Carmen here.
Hi, Carmen.
I was just going to say that I think right now my foundation is on Legos, like you described, you know,
mm-hmm.
and that I need to strengthen my foundation. And that balance is important to me. And the thought of not having, I feel like I have some balance, but not losing balance and not having that is kind of a fear. Loss of control of that balance, not having time to eat good food or to, I would like to have more time to exercise
mm-hmm.
and to fit those things into my life. And I just think balance.
Thank you. And I can really hear the sincerity in your desire for this. And what I'd like to, you know, to, for everybody to think about, I've noticed this so often, is that we say, and Portico mentioned it when she was talking, we say, I don't have time for these things. I'm too busy. And meanwhile, we try and take the financial action steps, and I'm going to talk in depth about what these steps are further on as we progress through these calls, or building our businesses. And like I was saying, we don't have the energy for it. And like Portico had mentioned and Jeff had mentioned, this is when they do these things, you know, whether it be yoga, reading, interacting with others, meditation, that it's energizing. So it gives them more energy to come from a fuller place. And so for now, I think it's easy, when we start thinking about these things that we want to pursue, it's easy to say, oh my gosh, I can't do that, even if it's a simple thing. But really, just keep in mind for now what your vision is, what it is that you want, and suspend the belief of whether or not that's possible, but make an effort to do it in a very small way, even if it's just 15 minutes of your time. You know, just make an effort to eat healthy or do a little bit of that exercise and then see how you feel. And for right now, just focus on what it is that is that gets you in touch with your passion, and really continue to refocus on that. Yeah, thanks again for sharing, Carmen.
Okay.
So the last, the kind of the third piece, and I have some examples that I'll share with you from my personal life and a story from one of my clients. It's a wonderful story. This third piece, and I don't know if this has been written about. This has been something that I've observed, and I'm calling it money dynamic. And whether you call it money dynamic or creativity dynamic, I'm going to explain this concept, and you might have your own term that helps you relate to this. But for, you know, today's, you know, for today, I'm just going to call it this money dynamic. So what I've noticed when I've worked with clients, and I teach a whole kind of I have a presentation that I do on looking at how our attitudes and our beliefs affect our interactions with our partners with money, and they affect how we go about creating more money or success in our businesses, right? This is something we're all familiar with, right? You know, we hear, of course, how I was raised affects, you know, and my experiences affect what my beliefs are. And I think that's really powerful to give some reflection to that. And I do coach some of my clients through this process of very specific questions about their background. But, or I guess I should say, and, this is a money dynamic is, in essence, how do you think about where you are right now, okay, and how you've gone about creating money for yourself, whether that's in your business, you know, and, you know, maybe also think about your interactions with your partner around money, what those look like, or your interactions with other people around money. How do you treat money when you're with other people? Do you hold on to it? Are you generous? So think about where you are. And then the second piece is think about where you want to be. You know, we've been talking about this. We're familiar with this. But as far as your money dynamic, this is what's different about where you are and where you want to be. A money dynamic focuses on how you want to create money in your life. It's the how. So to illustrate this point, because I could go on like trying to explain it to you, but I think it's more powerfully illustrated by sharing this a story from one of my clients. When I was working with her, I asked her, and I ask a lot of my clients this, and so please think about this for yourself. How is it that I asked her, how is it that you go about, what is money like for you right now? How do you handle money? And she said, I handle money, I feel like I'm choking it. I feel like I cling so tightly to it, and it's not going anywhere. It's stagnant. It doesn't have this opportunity to work for me. So that's how I handle money. And I asked her, how is it that you'd like to handle money? What would this look like for you? And she said, I would like to have this openness about it, more freedom with it. I would like to have more movement around it. And I encouraged her to think about this more, and also express it in some way. You know, some people like to create images, some people like to write about it. I just encouraged her to find her own way to make this concept real for her. So a couple of weeks later, she came back to our session, and she told me, I just love what she came up with. She found this image of some these five Egyptian women online. It's just a black and white image of these five Egyptian women, and they were juggling. And she took the she in place of the balls or whatever it was that they were juggling, she took some white out, whited that out, and put dollar signs. And now, for most people, the concept of juggling money is not a very positive concept. But for her, what she was getting at was that she wanted to see that, like these women juggling money, that she was allowing money to move in her business, and she would take this money and use it and then put it back out there in the form. So for her, it was in the form of more inventory and taking this money and putting it maybe into a retirement account, then putting it back out there. So it was continually moving instead of hanging on to whatever she had. So after she came up with this image, and then we did specific coaching around, things like cash flow and how to buy inventory and how to, kind of fancy terms like projecting your cash flow. Anyway, we did some very financial basics, taking effective financial action. That's important. So we did a lot of left brain work too. And she also had this very right brain concept of how she wanted this money dynamic for money to work for her. Well, she had been doing this for a month. And then the following session that we had, she told me, she so excitedly told me, you're not going to believe this. But she had her highest sales ever in 1 month period. It was the highest that it was the second highest. Let me make sure I say that correctly. Sales month that she had had in a 4-year period. After, and she was only $200 less of her highest month ever in that 4-year period. And the next month, she broke her record. Yeah, I just love that story because, she was thinking about how she wanted money to work for her. And when you read a lot of materials, when you read a lot of books and information on making money, and if you look at, things like the law of attraction and, typical prosperity-based readings that we're familiar with, a lot of people talk about get in touch with feeling. And I think that's why this money dynamic concept works, is it helps people get in touch with the feeling of what it's going to be like to have this money working for them. So for myself, I have, something that I just very recently came up with, kind of along these lines too, is every year, I write out, and this is something you guys might want to do. It's very fun. And I got this idea from a friend of mine. She shared with me that she would take these huge pieces of, like, poster board or butcher paper, and she would draw on it, like those beakers that the United Way puts out, those images of the beakers, and they always tell you how they're, meeting their goals.
Yeah.
You guys have seen that, right? So she would make this huge drawing of this beaker on this poster board, very large, and she put it on her bathroom wall, and she would write down her income goals for the year. And then she'd color it in, you know, each time she made more money. And then she would see, so she had this very visual representation of if she was meeting her goals. Anyway, that's a process that I started doing, and I really like that. But this year, I decided to combine this idea with this more right brain approach. And for me, what I did, I drew this image of the beaker. And for me, now my money dynamic involves, it's kind of more, to me, it's a more spiritual approach. And for me, I have this image of this girl with her arms outstretched and looking into the sky. All you can see is her back, and she's looking at the clouds. And so I put this image of this girl beside this image of the beaker with my goals on it. And then on the other side, I just cut out a few images of the things that are really important to me that I value. Because for me, growing my income and having the income, each year I think it's so important to set a new goal for your income and to challenge ourselves. But for me, it has to be in balance, and I have to have time for my relationships, my health, you know, all these other things that are important to me. But when I came up with that image, I had so much fun looking at it. It was no longer static for me. It was very interactive and exciting because it helped me get in touch with this feeling and this energy there. Does anyone have anything that they'd like to add to that, or does that bring up any thoughts for them or ideas?
Is the concept of budgeting related to that in the sense of, you know, knowing how much is coming in and going out in order to set your goals?
I would say that that's a secondary step. The first thing I would, you know, when you guys are thinking about what your vision is or what you want, I encourage people to think about what it is that they want. Is it believable to them? Is it, is it realistic? And get in touch with that passionate side, that right brain, you know, I'm going to go for this. And then once you create that, then the next step is, how are we going to make this happen? And that's where more of the left brain, kind of the budgeting, you know, strategizing comes in.
And when you say income, you just mean coming in. You don't necessarily mean profit, so to speak.
If you want, you can do it either way. You can do total growth or all your money coming in, or you could just do your net, which is the money that you want to profit. You know, it's whatever way works for you, and there's definite advantages to, you know, some people, it's easier for them to think about all the money coming in because we're used to thinking about it that way.
Right.
But you also want to be aware of what that actually means is going into your pocket, right? What are you actually netting after all your expenses? So, you know, if you take, as far as pieces to take away, and we just have a couple minutes and I'll tie everything, you know, tie up the call, finish the call. But I'd really like for you guys to think, when you get off this call, what are, you know, how do I want to make money in my life? You know, what will this feel like for me? Like this idea for this one client, it was, you know, money flowing freely. For me, it's like having a connection to guidance, having time for me, it's more of a spiritual practice and feeling like I'm really, my choices are coming from a deeper place instead of just like, oh, this book says I should do this. You know, it needs to feel right for me. I have another client, you know, her challenge was around how to handle money with her partner. And I said, just think about what that's going to look like for yourself. How would you ideally like to handle money? So think about this energy of money. How do you handle money now, and how would you like to handle it? and what would be exciting for you. So tie in these pieces of your vision, your desire. And the last thing that I want to mention is having a sense of knowing when it can be very powerful in all this too. You know, getting in touch with what really feels right and exciting can be very powerful. If I had time, I'd share another story with you, but I'll save that for another call about kind of getting in touch with the sense of knowing and how that can really make things happen. So always, you want to take the action steps that are important, the financial action steps, which is the strategizing how to make that happen, but it's also very powerful to get in touch with our passion and the exciting part and to blend those together. So we're at the end of our time, and we'll have our call next week is going to, it'll be the same time, Tuesdays, the first three Tuesdays of each month at 1 p.m. Eastern Time. And next week, we're going to focus on financial honesty, how to get financially honest in your life. And you'll learn about what it is, how to do it, and how it can make a difference in you accomplishing your financial goals. And so if you have anybody that you think would be interested in attending these calls, please encourage them to attend them. And you can sign up for them on my website under free resources and underneath that Live Richly calls. And thank you, everyone. Thank you for sharing.
Thank you so much, Leslie. This is great.
Good. Good. Good to hear from all of you.
Portico said bye. She had to step out just a minute ago.
Okay, thanks, Carmen. We'll talk to you guys next week. Take care.
Thanks.
Okay, thanks.
You bet.
Bye-bye.
Bye.